Let's look to God in prayer. O God, we want to acknowledge your presence with us even today, because we come and we gather in your wonderful name, O God. We pray that you'll fill us once again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to know that you are here. Help us to know, God, you're a God who's listening to our prayers. And Father, as we look at your word, we pray that you will inspire us, that your word will touch us, that our lives will be transformed. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I was announced, the announcement was pastors almost sleeps in this church. No? Don't tell this loud because my wife is here. No? I remember when I was a pastor in Singapore, this particular church of mine, they had a guest room for me, no? Because they know I need rest, and so it was, if you provide me with a guest room, probably I might, so maybe Mike can start, and Gary also can start looking into that. Yeah. Thank you once again. It's a joy to be with you today, together with my wife, and also let me bring you greetings on behalf of the Tamil Christian Church of Canada. Let me assure you once again that we are praying. In moments like this, I think we need God's prayer, that God will continue to be with us, help us, and guide us, and even to guard us. Can you imagine if someone comes and tells you, and I'm praying for you? How do you feel? When someone comes and says, you know, Mike, I'm praying for you. Gary, I'm praying for you. Dennis, I'm praying for you. How do you feel? Or Dave, I'm praying for you. How do you feel? You feel nice? Right? You feel good? I think there's a lot of joy when someone comes and says, you know, I'm praying for you. You know, my brother, my sister, I'm upholding you in my prayer. That means a lot to us. And not only that, it speaks about love. It speaks about care for us. But when you look at James chapter 5 verse 16, not only we are told to pray, but James says in 5:16 that we need to pray for each other. That's one of the command James is giving, that we need to be upholding each and every person in prayer. When Paul writes this letter to the young minister, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, Paul urges that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And on top, I think you will read a lot of passages in the scriptures that tells us that we need to be praying for one another. In moments like this, in each and every day, we need prayer, because prayer helps us a lot. It brings us to live a life for God in a very challenging and a very changing world. When you look at the scriptures very carefully, men prayed for God. In other words, people who loved God were praying. Nehemiah was praying. Jonah was also praying. David was praying. And almost everyone were praying, because they realized the power of prayer. Kierkegaard, you know, one of the famous authors, said, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. So when we begin to pray, I believe the Lord is filling us once again with his love, once again with faith, helping us to know that it is only you, only he is able to help us. And so my friends, you know, when someone comes and tells you, you know, I'm praying for you, you feel so excited. But let me tell you, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 17 that Jesus is praying for me. Are you excited? Come on, I'm not here. Hello, is someone here? Yes. Are you excited when Jesus comes and says, you know, I am praying for you? There will be a lot of excitement because, you know, the Lord is saying, I am praying for you. He knows the situation that we are in. He knows there are things that we need to decide. He knows the trials that we are facing, the many temptations that crosses our path. And God says that I am praying for you. And that was one of the last words that Jesus said in John chapter 17. And I'm going to read a couple of passages, a couple of verses from that. And Jesus is praying. Let me read John chapter 17, verses 13 onwards to verse 23. And these are the words of Christ. I am coming to you now. In other words, these are the last moments of Christ. He says, Lord, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you perfect them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. Jesus is not praying for the disciples alone. He continues by saying, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a powerful passage. You know, Jesus is praying not only for the disciples, but he is praying for those who will become disciples in the future by the ministry of these disciples and the apostles. So he's praying for the disciples, that God's presence will be felt in their life, that the Spirit of God will continue to be with them. At the same note, Christ is also praying for the many people like you and me who will come into the saving knowledge, that the presence of God will be felt. You know, Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 27:25, he says that Jesus is interceding for us. And Paul writes to the young minister again in 1 Timothy 2:5 that Christ is the mediator between God and me. And when you look at this passage once again, you realize, you know, when Jesus is praying, it speaks about, you know, what is God expecting things to happen in our life. Many a times we pray for blessings. I'm not saying it is wrong for us to pray for blessings. We pray that God will continue to show us good things, like that we will be happy, good health and all that. I'm not saying that we cannot pray for all these things. But when you look at the prayer of Christ, he tells us very clearly what is the desire of Christ for our life. Many a times we think blessings are God's desire. This is what God want me to have in this world. These are the things that God want me to enjoy in this world. When Christ is praying for us, he tells us very clearly, this is God's will and this is God's plan for our lives. And sometimes it's good for us to pray the way Jesus is praying, because many a times I know we treat God like a cafeteria, right? In our prayers, when you pray to God, you treat him like a cafeteria. You tend to ask him, I want this, I don't want that, you know, I want this dessert, Lord, I want that blessing with some cream cheese on top of it. So we treat God like that, like at cafeteria. Lord, this is what I want. I don't enjoy doing this, so I don't want this. I want you to give this to me because this is what I enjoy, I prefer, I desire in my heart. But when you look at the prayer of Christ, it says, what is God's desire for our lives? And what is God's desire for our families? And what is this God's desire for the church? Three things which I would like to talk to you today. Three things, if you look at the word very carefully. Jesus is praying in verse 11. Let me read. Lord, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And then in verse, if you continue, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you will protect them from the evil one. You know, many a times we pray, Lord, take me from this trial. Help me, Lord, because I do not want to face these temptations in my life. I don't want to have all these hurdles in my life. You know, these things are just stopping me from progressing. So Lord, take away all these things. But Christ is not praying. If you look at the word very carefully, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. In other words, Lord, they are going to be in this world. They are going to face all the things that any other human being is going to face. But Christ is praying in a different world. But you will protect them. Protect them. In other words, in the Greek word, it means, Lord, you preserve them. Yes, they are going to go through trials and temptations in their life. But Lord, we pray that, Lord, that they will be protected. That they will not fall into the wiles of the evil one. And then in the Greek word, it also means, Lord, defend them. Let them know that you are with them. Let them know that with Christ, I can do all things. Let them know that we are more than conquerors. I think that's the prayer of Christ. He is praying that we will be kept in the Father's name. That we will be protected in the Father's name. In the Greek word, it also means that God should sustain them in trials. And then save them from false teaching. Very interesting, because I think we live in an age and time, there's a lot of false teachings around. I think many of you have heard about prosperity theology, right? And we have also heard about the third day theology. There are so many teachings that's happening around. And I believe it's just coming into the church. It's creeping into the church. And so Christ is praying, Lord, protect my people. Protect them, defend them, sustain them in trials, and save them, O God, from all this false teaching which is coming into their lives and into the world. Sometimes I feel, you know, some of the teaching that's happening in the church, it's more like consumer theology, right? Sometimes ago I was talking to my church folks about entitlement, you know. Christians always believe, you know, I'm entitled to. Because God is my Father, He's the Creator, I'm entitled to. I think that kind of teaching is also coming into the church, that we feel that we are entitled to. It's all because of the consumer attitude that's happening in the world today. So He's praying, Lord, protect your people. Protect them. In whose name? Now, before that, if you look, you know, protect them. In other words, guard them from all these things. In whose name? In your name. In your name. Let me tell you, my friends, you know, we can be protected only by the name of God and by the name of Christ. Nothing else. Nothing more. It's only the name of Christ can help us, because Jesus conquered death and He had control over everything in the entire universe. He had power over the evil one. And Jesus prays, you know, Lord, protect them from the evil one. The temptations, the struggles that pulls us away from loving God, from serving Him. I believe you have heard the words of William Brooks, and he said, do not pray for easy lives, pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, pray for powers equal to your tasks. And so, my friends, I think Jesus is praying for us. You know, what a joy to know that the Lord knows the struggles we are in. The Lord knows the culture we are in. The Lord knows that we are living in a very changing environment, and many a times we are affected. Our Christian life is affected, and many a times we are struggling to make a decision. We do not know whether this is the right decision that I need to do. But the Lord is praying, and we can be guarded, we can be guided, we can be protected, we can be defended only by the name of Christ, my friend. And that is a prayer of Christ, that He, that God will continue to protect us. So what a joy. You know, if you love the Lord is praying for us. What a joy to know God is praying, the Christ is praying for me right now. That I'll preach the right gospel, not the wrong gospel. And God is praying for each and every one of you. Secondly, when you look at the passage once again, you know, He's praying for sanctification. In verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then again in verse 19, He says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. You know, when you look at the word sanctify, you know, it comes to our mind, we immediately think to make us holy. But I think, yes, but I think Christ is saying more than that. Because if the Lord says, Lord, make them holy, and then in verse 19, it contradicts, because, you know, how can Christ be made holy? Because He's holy, right? He's righteous. And so Christ cannot be made holy again, because He is a triune God. He is holy. And so the word here, it is not to be made holy, but we should be set apart or consecrated for God's work. In other words, that's the prayer of Christ, right? Lord, help them to be obedient to the call, to the mission, to the responsibility that is given to them. Lord, let my disciples be faithful, because the Lord is praying, I will be gone. And so, Lord, help them, sanctify them, separate them, O God. Let them know that there is a purpose for each and every one of their lives. I think that is a prayer of Christ. He's praying that we will be sanctified. Someone said like this, sanctification is not about being, living a clear or clean or perfect life, but an obedient life. Let me just say it again. Sanctification is not about living a clean or perfect life, but an obedient life. But an obedient life. And I think that is a prayer of Christ, that we will become obedient. We will become obedient to the call that is given to us. Dear friends, let me tell you, you know, when God called us to be part of the body of Christ, you know, there is a purpose. In my Bible study, I was teaching a class, and I know my members were not so happy, particularly those who came. No, I said, you know, when God called us, God is actually calling us to suffer. And so I told them, are you ready to suffer? And no one put up their hand. Because, right, I said, you know, the next time when I do membership class, I'm going to say, this call is called to suffer. Not only to come and see. If you really look at the word of Christ, Jesus invites the disciples by saying, come and see. But slowly He moves on, right? And then He says, come and die. You know, we are so happy to come and see, to come and enjoy, right? The entitlement. Because I'm a church member, these are my benefits. And these, I am entitled to all these things. Yes, come and see. Come and experience Christ. But let me tell you, my friend, there is another thing that makes us full members of the body of Christ, when we come and die for Christ. And so we need to realize that Christ actually is praying for us, that we will know what is God's call. Not only to experience His love, to enjoy His blessings, but also to give ourselves, that Christ's name will be glorified. So sanctification is not just living a clean or a perfect life. it is becoming an obedient life. I think that is a prayer of God. That's a prayer of God for the church today. Because when we look at the churches today, you know, we want to feel good. I remember there was one time when I was in Singapore, you know, when I was doing the bulletin like this, you know, when the item came for message, I purposely took out the E and put another alphabet, A. M-A-S-S-A-G-E. Have you realized, many of our members, they want massage. They don't want a message, right? And people are not so quick to, you know, look at it. And sometimes I feel, and that's our temptation. We want to feel good. We want to feel nice. We want to be excited. We want the music to be uplifting, you know, as if we were drowning throughout the week. You know, we want something nice. We want a friendly, you know. But when you look at the Word of God, God has actually called us. It's not wrong to feel good. But let me tell you, you know, the Lord wants us to enjoy His blessings, to see His goodness at the same note. He wants us to know that we are set apart to live an obedient life. God has called us to live for Him and for Him alone. And that's why Oswald Chambers said something beautiful. He says, "Sanctification is not something our Lord does in me. Sanctification is Him, is His Himself in me." In other words, you know, allowing Christ to take control of my life. Let me finish with the last word. You know, firstly, Christ is praying. He's praying that we will be protected in the Father's name. Only Christ is able to defend us, to protect us from the evil one, right? To protect us, to live a life that God has planned for us. Secondly, He's praying that we will always know that we are called, we are sanctified, we are separated for God's purpose. Not only to enjoy His benefits, to enjoy His goodness, but also to know, to be found obedient, doing the will of God in our lives and also through our lives. And lastly, you know, in verse 21, He's praying that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. You know, Jesus is praying for unity, that we will be united in the Father's love. If you realize, you know, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, the Lord is, three times He's praying for unity. Sometimes I ask myself, why is the Lord mentioning it three times? Probably that is one of the problems that we have in the churches today. We don't have unity, right? If you realize in verse 11, He prays, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in Me through their word, that they may be one, right? And then verse 11 says, protect them in Your name that You have given Me, so that they may be one as We are one. And in verse 20, and also in verse 22 and verse 23, He's just praying for unity, that we will be one, like the Father is one with Christ. That kind of oneness should be found in the church, my friend. I think there is a prayer of the Lord for the church and for us, that we will be one. That we will be one. Why? If you read verse 21 onwards, it says, you know, that the world will know. In verse 23, Then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Then the world will know. When we are one, then the world will know and believe the Father, believe the Lord. Then the world will know. I was just reading a couple of weeks ago about a pastor, two pastors, it's a bit always difficult for two pastors to come together, right? But let me tell you, myself and Pastor Trevor, we were good friends. You know, it's so these two churches, two pastors came together, and so this pastor was telling him, you know, let's do some evangelism in the neighborhood. So the other guy was so surprised because he was invited by this particular pastor. He said, fine, I love to do evangelism. Let's do. And so the day came and they got together and they started walking. So the other pastor was talking to him, and this younger guy was telling himself, you know, this man invited me, right, so that both of us can do some kind of evangelism. But we are just talking. He was just telling himself, we are just talking and talking. And finally they came back to the destination. And so this young man was saying, you know, I'm shocked because you invited me. I thought we are going to do some evangelism. We are going to give out some leaflets, maybe some goodies. We are going to talk to people around. He said, you know, we are doing evangelism. He said, what did we do? He said, when both of us are coming together, that is evangelism, because it's difficult for two pastors to come together and to walk together. So when the world sees that both of us are together, they will believe in the God. They will believe in Christ, my friend. Today it's sad, right? We see churches are competing with one another. It's very sad. Right, sometimes I feel that some churches, we have territorial spirits. Peter Wagner wrote about that, but he talks about a different kind of territorial spirit. You know, sometimes we say, this is my territory, so you church, you do not come near. So this is my area, and I'm going to do this ministry. You know, let me tell you, when two churches come together, when pastors or church leaders can come together, can speak together, can enjoy a meal together, can have a prayer walk together, that will bring the message of love to the entire community, my friend. Because they want to see Christ in our lives. They have heard about Christ, but they want to see Christ manifested in our lives. They want to see Christ taking flesh in our life. And that's the prayer of Jesus. Jesus prays, Lord, I pray that they will be united as we are united, so that others will know your love, your joy, and the peace that others, the world cannot give. Let me tell you, my friend, when Christians can come together, when Christians can stop gossiping and come together by prayer, when Christians can come together by fellowshipping, by praying for one another, the world will see Christ in us and through us. And I think that's what Jesus is praying, that we should and we need to come together. I think my time is up. If I'm short, I mean, I'll be invited again. But in my church, I'm a bit longer. I think you can ask my folks here. They have to bear with me, because I still got a contract. I think, let me share with you this story which I read. I do not know whether it's happening today. It's about Salvation Army. Any folks from Salvation Army? Oh. Please don't listen to what I'm going to say. About this man, you know, this man, he wanted to work. He was an illiterate guy, unable to read and write. And he was converted by the work of Salvation Army, by William Booth, the founder, a Methodist. No, so this man, elderly person, you know, he went to Salvation Army regularly. He was just giving himself his time and energy. So one day he came back home, and he was so sad. So the wife asked him, you know, what's happening? You look so sad. And he said, you know, I noticed the people in Salvation Army, they wear red sweaters, right? But I don't have a red sweater. And so the wife said, you know, darling, don't worry, right? Let me knit you a red sweater. And so she made, you know, a nice beautiful sweater for him. And so the next day he went back to work with a new sweater, came back home, still not so happy. Dave, you're not listening? Oh, he's listening. Came back home, you know, the wife, you know, she said, you know, he said, you know, my jacket is slightly different because, you know, I noticed that in the red sweaters there are some yellow writings. So I want that writings. The wife was also illiterate. She did not know how to read and write. But she said, you know, sweetheart, let me do this for you. I will put the writing there, right? I'll do something for you that you will be happy in. But because she was unable to read and write, she did not know what was the words. But she managed to do something for him. He went back to work the next day, came back home, so happy, so excited. So the wife said, you know, did they like your sweater? The man said, you know, they loved my sweater. Some of them said they liked my sweater better than their sweater. And then she said, you know, she was so excited. You know what she did? She wrote, because she did not know what to write. She looked outside the house and she saw some beautiful letterings, and she wrote this, or she stitched, and the words are this: this business under new management. This business under new management. No wonder the folks in Salvation Army liked it. Let me tell you, I think this is what God, we need to be under His management. And that is a prayer of Christ. He wants us to be in His management. And so when we are in His management, we are protected. We will know what is God's plan for our lives. And we will love one another as Christ have loved us. Let's pray. Oh God, what a joy to know that even now, even at this very moment, oh God, you are interceding for us. We thank you once again. We thank you, Lord, for interceding for us, for our families, for our loved ones, and for the church. We pray, as you have asked us, O Lord, that you will continue to protect us. Protect us, O God, from the evil one. Help us, O Lord, to be overcomers. Help us to be more than conquerors. Help us, O Lord, to face the many challenges, O God, of this world in the name of Christ. Help us to know, Lord, that we have a call, and the God who have called us is always faithful, that we are sanctified. We are commissioned, O God, for you. We belong to you, O God. Help us, O Lord, to know at every moment of our life that we belong to the God who have created the entire world. That the God who came to love us and to give our love for us. And help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to be your instrument that we could bring unity between one another. Help us, Lord, to be people who will bring people, Lord, through reconciliation. Help us, Lord, to be one. We thank you, Lord. And we know that you are praying for us, and you will continue to pray for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.